Just help us to get past all of the stuff, the things, the distractions. Because it's not about a performance. It's not about what we can do for you. It's what you've done for us. And we want to celebrate that, God, this morning. But in response to the birth of your Son, Lord, you have charged us with bringing the gospel to the world. And that's going to take some work. We're going to have to go through that washing process, that sanctification process of being transformed from our old self to a born-again saint, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And your word has taught us that. And I pray this morning as I teach, excuse me, that, Lord, you will bring wisdom and understanding to our hearts so that this season, as well as every season that you have planned until you come for us or you bring us home, that we remain in the middle of your will, listening to your voice and responding with yes and amen. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2021. Wow. We're getting ready to change that. It'll be 2022 in just a week or so. But the message never changes. Doesn't matter what year changes, God doesn't change. Let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. As I take you through the story and apply it, not just to read, but to apply to each of our lives. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel, mind you, Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee, heaven to earth. It's called Nazareth. And he sent this angel, Gabriel, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name, as we just heard the song about, was Mary. And coming in, this bigger than life Gabriel said to Mary, greetings, favored one. Boy, wouldn't you love to hear that? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. And let me remind you that he's with each one of you too, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But Mary at the time, see, she was perplexed. It says, she was very perplexed at this statement. God himself coming down by a messenger angel saying, hail, favored one. I mean, I think that would take you a little off guard. So she kept pondering, what kind of salutation, in other words, greeting, this was. Perplexed. Wondering. Am I dreaming? Is this real? Could God himself really be telling me that I'm favored? She was somewhat, I would have to say, troubled, if you will. So my question to you is, have you ever been troubled by a message that you've received from God, either through scripture, maybe it was a dream, or even a person who claims God told them to speak it over you? Especially if that which was spoken has not come to pass yet. Has that ever troubled you? Well, the prophet said this, and I just don't see it yet. Well, I had this dream, and I think this is what it means, but yet it's not come to fruition yet. Would you wonder? Would you be a little perplexed? Would you be curious? Would you say, is this really from Almighty God? Or is it just somebody trying to exercise a gift that they're having a little bit, you know, they just... All these questions enter our minds. We know that. Another question for you. Do you think we have a tendency to believe that unless God himself shows up in person, I may be a little hesitant to fully embrace what I've just experienced? I'm going to say that again. And let's be honest. Do we have a tendency to believe that unless God himself, that it's an emphatic, I heard his voice, I saw him, or this or whatever, are we a little hesitant to embrace what you just experienced, whether it was a dream, whether it was through a prophetic word coming from a person who heard from God who said to speak it to you, or maybe it was driving down the car, down the road, and in the car you had a song on, and it was just the right moment that you were thinking of just this, and that song said to you exactly what it was that you were pondering. Do we have to wait till it comes to pass before we believe? No, just not going to do it. Not until I actually see it. Because, you know, I just don't believe that's still even going on in the Bible right now and stuff. Until you experience it, then all of a sudden it's like, tell everybody. Can we learn a lesson from Thomas? He's in the Bible. Let's look at it. John 20:25. So the other disciples were saying to him, Thomas had just arrived. He hadn't seen with his eyes what those guys experienced. See, those guys experienced it. They were excited. They were, Jesus. Oh, man, they were like, it's true. Everything he said, he came back. He's here. You know, they couldn't even imagine all that was in store, but they were excited, and they were probably what today people would call people charismatic or maybe Pentecostal. I mean, wouldn't you if you just saw Jesus come through a wall and talk to you? I guarantee you wouldn't stay glued to your seat. You'd be up and going and hugging them and screaming, and you'd be Pentecostal yourself. That's what they just experienced. But then when they said that and witnessed to the rest of the people who didn't see, in this particular case one, he said to them, and Thomas having come in, they said, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of his nails, and now he got real specific, and that, you know, in putting my finger into the place where his nails, it wasn't enough that he would see him, but I want to see where he was crucified. And put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Have you seen that in church before? We've heard about an airport revival. We heard about a Pentecostal revival down in Florida. We hear about things in Melbourne. We hear about things that have gone on in the past. And Smith Wigglesworth went through some. And then we've seen other great men of God in the past where the church has experienced periodic, you know, just intermittent moves of God where the glory came down and the church experienced the presence of God. And they get all excited. And you hear about all the Pentecostal stuff that goes on. And people are hanging from chandeliers or maybe running across the chairs. And I think that's the flesh. But, you know, there's other people that are falling down and just full of joy and clapping their hands and being excited. And I think that's real, you know, but that's what I think. And it doesn't really matter what I think. When God shows up, anything can happen. Lightning and thunder and angels and choirs. We don't know. Well, we should. That's what we're going for. We want the glory to come down and hit this church, and whatever happens, happens. We don't care what other people think in the community, whether they think you're charismatic, Pentecostal, Whatacostal, Anycostal. If God shows up, no way. Hey! And he's here in spirit. His omnipresence is here. We want that manifest presence. We want what Thomas didn't see, but the disciples saw. Jesus. The presence of God, even if it's not in physical form, you just sense that presence where it just moves you, that you literally have just this awe and this overwhelming peace and that knowledge of, he's right here, he's speaking to me, he's speaking to your heart. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas was all about. Jesus was here for 33 and a half years. Oh, what a day that must have been. But now we live by faith and not by sight. And that's what Jesus was telling Thomas. So is that what it will take for you to move forward in your faith? Are you going to have to take him coming through a wall and showing you his hands and feet in order for you to just go to that next level with your ministry or your faith or what you believe or sharing the gospel? That's the challenge today. When we remember his birth, we got to remember what he came for. He came so that he may, yes, save us, but then if that was it, we'd have all been raptured right at that point. He saved us so that we could represent heaven and become his ambassadors, his hands and feet, his servants, his friends, his children, to talk about the kingdom so others could come in and be part of the family. That's why he came. That's what we have to understand this Christmas when we read the Christmas story. Oh, it's wonderful, and we think of the manger and all that kind of stuff. And if you want to get to the reality of it, it was a smelly, stinky place with a bunch of animals. A place where the shepherds had to come off of the fields and they were working all day. So, you know, what they must have been doing, right? Working. And here they come, and they're surrounding this baby when it's just a, you know, we glorify it, and we should glorify it because the Lord was there. But what we did to get him to that place, and what the innkeeper did to put him out in that place, that wasn't so good. The king had come, and he didn't arrive in a palace. That just makes me feel good to know that, you know what, we don't need big, huge, mega palace churches with smoke coming up and huge things and stuff like that. Church is where your heart is. We're gathered together to just give him everything that from within is in us to give him. That's church, whether it's out in a field in a cold, icy rain like in Israel back in the church, you know, when we call it the church, but it was the people of Israel at the time, the people of God. They met out there when Ezra was preaching the word all day in icy rain. Would you stand in icy rain to hear the word preached all day? Today, I would venture to say no. That probably would not happen. But they didn't care. They knew that they had wandered from the Lord and they needed God's word, and they were willing to stand in whatever to hear the word preached to them. And that's what happened. Will we not trust in God and his ability to communicate to us without being physically present through circumstances, people, or dreams? Folks, it's how God has chosen to minister until Jesus returns. We have to deal with it. We live by faith and not by sight. He's using people. He's using the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He's using the administrator, the person with the gift of helps, the person with the tongues and interpretation of tongues. He's using the person with the gift of healing. He's using the person that just loves him and sits before him. He's using the person that's jumping up and down and clapping their hands. He's using those strange and peculiar people that you look at sometimes when you see him. We all have different personalities. And yes, there's times we miss it. And there's times when people get over-emotional and they're just being emotional and has nothing to do with God. Who's not moved in that kind of a spirit at times in their life, even at home with your family? We've got to quit judging people and just, hey, if it's a situation that you know you don't belong in, just walk away from it. If it gets into the flesh, if it gets carnal, if it gets worldly, then just, you know, just, and don't go walk away and tell 50 people of how awful these people were. Maybe it was just a bad hair day and they missed it. They were getting overly emotional, so they got into the flesh. I'm telling you, if the things that happened to Mary were happening and stuff like that, and they were being reported to you and you weren't there, you'd probably think she was off her rocker. He's given us each an important role to play. He's given us each, it says in the Word of God, a measure of faith. Don't tell me you don't have faith. Oh, you do have faith. Every one of you that knows Jesus Christ, you have been given by God a measure. A measure. What is a measure? That means you've got some faith. And what we can do throughout life is build our most holy faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Well, that Word of God that's used there is rhema. That means we can gain understanding and gain insight from reading the Logos, the written word, and it's wonderful to have it. But the Holy Spirit lives within you, and he brings impressions, and he brings counsel, and he brings comfort. And you can hear that rhema word, and that's what really builds your most holy faith, because we can read the devil's read the word probably a bunch of times. He probably knows it from beginning to end. He just doesn't obey it. But when the Holy Spirit speaks, it does help to build our most holy faith. And remember, the Holy Spirit will always agree with the written word. Why? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the same person. Can't add to it, can't take away from it. But boy, it can be expounded. And the Holy Spirit does the best job of that. And then the Holy Spirit working through anointed individuals like teachers and apostles and pastors and all of you, any of you. If he can work through a donkey, he can work through any of us, right? But we forget those things. We forget those things. Church has got to be in just the right order. And God, when you come in, you must sit down and you must stay there and you must just go in proper order and don't get up and don't get out of line and don't bring a word when you're not asked to bring a word. Imagine if we said that to God. Now, God, this is your church. You built it. It's on that foundation, right? The confession Peter made that Jesus was the Christ, that was the rock, that was the foundation. The church was built upon the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And when he comes in and he says he walks in the midst of his church in Revelation, so if he walked at Ephesus and he walked during those other churches, At Philadelphia, what makes you think he's not walking through the churches here in Landrum? Because he's in spirit. He's here. Emmanuel, God with us. It's not just words to a song. He's here, folks. In spirit and within us, the omnipresence of God all over the world, but then that manifest presence that can emanate when we're under the anointing and when God chooses to bring that anointing to its fullest. And it is up to him. When he hits a church and the glory comes down from heaven to here to join that Holy Spirit that's within us, boy, when those times come, we won't know what to do, and that'll be a good thing. We'll just bask in it, right? Folks, it's how God has chosen to minister until Jesus returns, as I said. Through yielded vessels that are willing to allow the Holy Spirit within us to speak to us and then respond with obedience. Not sometime, but immediately, instantly. That's the work that he's working on, so that we get less time between the response time when he speaks to us and how we act. I was an example yesterday. It was 2 hours, only 2 hours, and I missed it by an hour. I want that time to get down to zero. Holy Spirit, you speak, I move. Luke 1, 30 to 34. The angel said to her, now this is what he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary." So obviously Mary, in her wonder and excitement, with an angel appearing saying, "Hey, favored one," she was probably a little trepidation, right? "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God." Hallelujah. "And behold," here it comes. Talk about charismatic. "You will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Now, Mary had not slept with Joseph. "He will be great, and he will be called." And now, Mary's being told, get this, "Your son will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." This angel keeps talking and he says he'll be great and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, right? God's going to give him the throne of his father David. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom," God's government, a theocracy, if you will, theo, God, krasi, meaning government, right? Theocracy, "will be forever." It'll have no end. Praise God, right? We're under God's government now, and we're going to be under it forever and ever. Amen. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" I know some things, angel. How could this possibly be? So here it is for us. So when God decides he wants to do something supernatural, wouldn't you say that would be a supernatural act? Say yes, amen, or whatever. Okay. That's a supernatural act. So when God decides, whether it's in church in here on a given Sunday or at your home or out in the fields or wherever Mary was at the time, right? He decides to do something supernatural through you. I'd say through, that's a through you, isn't it? Mary was going to be the vessel. God was going to act upon the earth, but it was going through Mary so he can go through you. And his message is delivered to you through a person, a circumstance, or anything by that matter. An angel could come to you. A person could come to you. A song could come to you. It doesn't matter the vehicle by which it comes. If it's a message from God, we need to receive it. And when it's supernatural and it's harder to receive those things, I get it, because we live with our feet in the dirt and we're natural people. We have a tendency to take the supernatural and kind of, except if it's evil, of course, you know, and you get into seances and witchcraft and all that stuff, the world bites into that all the way. But you start mentioning God and angels and him showing up and the glory coming down and stuff like that, for some reason people are like, "Well, I don't know about that. Give me a break." That's just the devil speaking into people's ears. Is your response to some person or circumstance, "Amen," or "Yeah, that's right, I receive that"? Oh, you may not say that, but does your heart shout that out? Think about it. Is your response, "Yeah, right, amen," or is it, "Yeah, right"? I think a lot of times it's, "Yeah, God's going to birth a son through me. and he's going to save the world, and I'm going to be the... Sure. Okay. What have you been drinking? Come on, you know, let's be real. That's kind of the mindset of what we think about supernatural things today. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been in churches where, you know, that stuff doesn't happen anymore because we have this, and that's all we need, just the Bible. And so we don't need the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and those other things, because this is enough. This is all we have and stuff like that. But God says differently. He says, yeah, you do have the Logos. You do have the written word. You have the living word. It's actually alive because the Holy Spirit energizes it in you. But we also have the Holy Spirit in us. And we also have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I pray you also have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, yes. So if anybody's preaching a different gospel than the one that's been preached, and that's what Paul said, and that's why we have to listen, because Paul's the one who lists the gifts. Well, that's not here anymore. Paul said it was. Right. Was Paul anointed or wasn't he? Do you believe it? Are you like Mary? You're going to go, you know, yeah, right. Or, yeah, right. We face it every day in the church. Every day. Again, a lot of people go, yeah, yeah, and agree with their words, but their heart shouts something totally different. How we reason and deliberate over conversations with God or his representatives. Why do we do that? We just, instead of taking it at face value, we just deliberate. Now, there's a difference, and don't get me wrong, between discernment and making sure that it is from God. But then when we know that it matches, and yeah, this definitely must be God. Why do we continue to reason and deliberate over it? That's what gets us in trouble. We entertain spiritual discussions but answer with natural intellect. Amen. A lot of the time. Right? We entertain spiritual discussions but we answer with our natural intellect. Listen to this. Do you know what it must have taken Mary to not dismiss her conversation with the angel as a dream, considering she was told that she'd give birth to God? She could have easily, I mean, how many of you have gone to bed and woken up or whatever and stuff, or maybe something happened in your life and you said, was I dreaming? Or did that really happen? Because some dreams are really, I mean, you're in them. Your body reacts to them. It's God sometimes speaking through you. That sometimes the enemy gets in, right? It's called a nightmare. But God often enters in, and it becomes so real. You could taste it. You could touch it. As my wife would say, you could even fly. Anybody ever flown in their dreams? Well, I got a big response to that one. Folks, what I'm trying to say here is that this dismissal, if you will, of just saying, hey, that was either a dream, or the prophet missed it, or yeah, right, you just don't really catch on to it. That ought not to be the response of us as Christians. We should be discerning. We should use wisdom. We should see that it measures against the word of God correctly. And if it's been spoken to us, let's get into the habit of saying, okay, God, I receive that. And it's not always a good thing. It might be a rebuke. You have to be just as willing to receive a rebuke if it applies to you and be humble enough to say, I missed it. I missed it. Because that'll witness more to people than saying, well, you know, yesterday I tried to come up with 50 excuses of why I missed it. And I almost convinced myself. But thank God the Holy Spirit took over and said, nope, you missed it. And you know what? We put one foot in front of the other and we move on. Because we've all missed it at times. We can't go back and change it. If circumstances come, they come. But Lord, bring my heart to a place where I am just immediately obedient to all that you call and all that you say. A virgin, nonetheless, God would be born through. So what is it that you have a hard time believing about what God can do in or through you? Come on now, today's a pondering day. Mary pondered, so guess what you get to do this Christmas message? Ponder. What is it that you have had a hard time believing right now about God, about what God can do in or through you? Maybe you've been given an assignment. Maybe you have a spiritual gift, and God is saying, use it. And you're going, I'm a little afraid. I'm wondering, where did this message come from? Is it just me? Maybe this Christmas you have something to birth spiritually. Jesus was born to give you a new spiritual birth. You got the big ticket to go to heaven, but now he hasn't taken you, so you have a purpose and a plan on this earth that he's given you an assignment for, and he's given you specific spiritual gifts. You are a good gift to the body no matter who you are in here. You need to discover what that gift is, and you need to exercise it and use it till he comes. And if you have a hard time believing that that's what you have, then you get the brethren around you, you get confirmation, because, you know, you can say, well, I can sing, and so I'm going to be the lead singer for, you know, California Christian Fellowship. Where am I? Carolina Foothills Christian Fellowship. If nobody else agrees that you can do this, then probably you ought to rethink it. Then maybe you need to wonder a little bit. God generally confirms what it is that he's trying to tell you that you need to be doing, right? So be thinking about that. Luke 1:35-38. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Wow. "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." So the angel basically tells Mary, this ministry won't have anything to do with your own ability. This has nothing to do with you and Joseph getting together. It has nothing to do with you going out and adopting a child. It has nothing to do with you at all, frankly. All you need to do is receive. And in your ministry out there, for every one of you, if you'll just receive and yield to God and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, we'll see things that we could never have seen before. If you try to work it in your own strength, you'll botch it up. He tells Mary, God's going to overshadow you. This is going to be done by God. All you do is nurture that child, receive that child. And then she tried to tell Jesus a few times all these things to do and stuff like that. And Jesus was like, you don't understand. I kind of have to listen to my Father. I can't really do what you're talking about, but because I have to follow the Word of God, I'll submit to you until it's time for me to go out on my own. So we do that too, right? Mary's like, no, Jesus, you know, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. Go over there and help those people out. It's not my time, woman. But because he had to honor his, what? Father and mother, he did it. See, he obeyed completely unto death. There wasn't one thing he did not obey. "Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son." She must have said, Elizabeth, she's old. Oh my gosh, Elizabeth, you're telling me I'm going to birth God, and now Elizabeth has the forerunner to God in her old age? And she who was called barren, nonetheless, she couldn't have children in the natural. Supernatural again, is now in her 6th month. Is there anything our God can't do? Don't you tell me God can't do it. That's the song. Should have played that today. For nothing will be impossible with God. Do you believe that? Is this for history's sake? Are we doing this because it's Sunday morning and we're doing a religious service and this is what we read about what God did once before? No, nothing is impossible for God then, now, and forever. Amen. And Mary said, behold, now she's getting it. No more wonder, no more trepidation. She says, okay, Elizabeth's pregnant. I'm going to have God. The angel's here. I've been wondering and stuff like that. Mary said, no, behold, the bond slave of the Lord. Here I am. Okay, I'm buying into it. I can receive that. That's where we got to get, folks. May it be done to me according to your word. And I think that final decision was made because it was an actual angel. She knew she was now speaking to an angel. I don't think she thought it was a dream anymore. No, this is truth. Because the angel had information, right, that he wouldn't, you know, a regular person wouldn't have had. And the angel departed from her. So she bought it. Be it done to me, Lord, every one of you this Christmas. Be it done to me, Lord, according to your word. Whatever you want to do, whoever you want me to see. Maybe it's baking a cake and bringing it over on a Christmas Eve. Maybe it's inviting somebody over that normally wouldn't have somebody over their house on Christmas Eve. Maybe it's just going out and cleaning up Jesus' ground. Maybe it's, you know, what's your gift to Jesus this Christmas? Because he's given his gifts to you, and you're giving your gifts to one another, but what are you giving back to him? And I had a laundry list here in the beginning that you could take, you know, you can get a copy. Choose something. But make Jesus the center of your attention this Christmas. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. Because with God, the impossible becomes routine. When you're flowing with God, the impossible becomes routine. It's not like, whoo! Did you see what God just did? When you're flowing in the anointing and the Holy Spirit's working and the way he did at the Pentecost and stuff like that, the impossible, it just becomes, for God, it's routine because that's all he does. He doesn't deal with the natural. He won't deal with your carnal, fleshly man. Mm-mm. Holy Spirit will deal with that, you know, in trying to get it out of you. But God ministers to God. God the Father ministers to God the Holy Spirit in you. And as you agree with the Holy Spirit in you, now we communicate with God. If you're not in the Holy Spirit with this thing and you're in your flesh, you're not really communicating with God. God will minister with God. So can you handle that kind of faith and be willing to be used this Christmas? What do you think the apostles of Jesus were thinking when they anxiously were waiting in that room, having heard from Jesus himself that he would resurrect in 3 days? What were they thinking? Do you think that they were overjoyed and simply expecting, "Be it done, Lord, according to your word"? I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you why I don't think so. They remained doubtful even after the women reported that they saw Jesus. And here we go again. We hear reports of revival going on elsewhere, other places and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, right. Yeah, they're probably just in the emotions of it all. And I'm not buying into that and stuff like that. It happens everywhere but here. And, you know, that good for them. That's exactly what the apostles did to the women who beheld Jesus and told them, "We've seen the Lord." And you know what they said? "Yeah, right." Not, "Yeah, right." "Yeah, right." Doubtful. Faith isn't easy, is it, folks? Seriously, faith is not easy. Never has been. Jesus even said in the Word, will I even find faith on this planet when I come back? Why would he say that? Because faith is not easy. We have to read the Word, and then we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work the Word in us. We have to believe without seeing with our physical eyes. We have to believe the written Word. We have to believe that when God sends messengers to us and it agrees with that Word, we have to be able to receive. Otherwise, faith begins to dwindle. And we begin to, mumble and complain. That's not what God wants. Don't you think Satan was trying to convince Mary, the mother of Jesus, that the word she received was ridiculous? Think about that. You know, Mary, we think about, hey, Mary received this thing. What, you know, the inspired word brings inspired resistance. Don't you think that Satan and or his demonic realm was trying to say to Mary, "Oh, really? You're a virgin? You're going to have a baby. He's going to be God. That was really an angel. You don't think you were sleeping. You don't think you had too much, you know, whatever, out in the field, smoking that." Think about it. I'm just trying to bring it into reality for you. Satan would come and try to convince Mary, just like he's going to convince you that you don't. Do you really think you have that gift? Do you really think that you can be used by God that way? Do you really think that you can touch lives? That you can make a difference in somebody's life? I watched It's a Wonderful Life for the first time all the way through in my life the other day. It's a Wonderful Life. And it said, "George, let me show you the world without you." Remember that? Anybody ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? "Let me show you the world without you." And boy, did he see a huge difference. Well, I'm going to say the same thing to all of you out there. If you weren't in the world, how many people right now that you've ministered to in your life throughout your entire life, their course of their life and the course of the whole family unit that you're in and the people that you've influenced would be completely different. Because God's uniquely made you from your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundation of the world. You are written on the palm of his hand because he's an everlasting God. He knows the past all the way to the future and stuff. He knew when he was going to bring you into the world. He didn't make any mistakes. God makes no mistakes. You're not a mistake. You need to be birthed into the strength that you have through the power of the Holy Spirit and become the church that God wanted from the very beginning at Pentecost to become even greater at the end. Not watered down, not complacent, not like Laodicea, but believing and receiving like Mary did. Amen. Be it done according to your word to this church and to these people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Right. Satan probably said, Look at you. You're laying in a smelly manger in a lowly city. You can't even get a room. Is this a fitting way to bring a king into the world? That's a song, too. I mean, you could hear the word Satan speaking over your shoulder. Look at you. You can't even memorize two scriptures in the Bible. You think God's really going to use you? That gift that you have and stuff like that, you really think you're ministering in that? Come on. Being real this Christmas. It was real for Mary, and it's going to be real for you. Dismiss it. Shuck it. Trust in the word. Trust in your gifts. Trust in what those that come alongside you say the anointing that you have are, and begin to exercise it. And maybe you're going to start off a little rocky like Mary did and stuff, but then after a while you're going to get more sure and more sure and more sure, and you're going to start laying hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Right. Maybe they're not doing that right now, but maybe in the future they're going to. We have to build our most holy faith. We have to be in touch with the Holy Spirit. We got to do it when He tells us to do it, not when we feel like doing it in our own strength. Is this a fitting way to bring a king into the world? I can hear him now. What about you folks? Do your present accommodations, abilities, and circumstances tell you that your ministry has no chance of success? Luke 2, verses 6 to 14. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly, what? Here like Mary. Frightened. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." Where did we hear that before? "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all of the people." For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find him a baby wrapped in clothes laying in a manger. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude. We had this question last night in trivia. An angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." Wow. He's pleased. He's pleased. I know that we sometimes beat ourselves up for all the sins that we do, but have you ever patted yourself on the back for the times that you've been obedient? People can say 1,000 things to you, or you can do 1,000 things for people that are right, but you do that one thing wrong and whoosh, you're out the door in man's eyes, right? 10 years I can minister to you, but if I say one really wretched thing to you in one bad moment when I had a bad hair day, you'd be gone. Even though I did 1,000 things right, that one bad thing, right? Well, turn that around in God's perspective, in God's eyes. Maybe you've done 1,000 bad things in your life up to this point, but you make a decision that Jesus Christ is now going to be Lord, and in that moment you give your heart to Christ and you do that one right thing. Who do you think God's going to side with? That one right thing you just did. And He's going to celebrate and He's going to forget all the rest. And only God can do that. But I'm here to tell you that we need to have that kind of thinking. When people upset you, when people are wronging you, when people are persecuting you and doing stuff like that, you were there one day. Somebody forgave you. You got here somehow yourself. Why don't we start doing the same for others? And if you know somebody's having a bad hair day, or you just get into an argument or a spat or whatever it is and stuff like that, don't bail on the church or bail on your friends or bail on your family. It happens, right? Eric, we're not perfect yet. When you get to be perfect, then you have the right to complain. It's time for me to get a little quicker here. Bottom line with all this, it sounds like an extreme charismatic experience, right? We've read all of this, and it is. And what do I mean by charismatic? The word charismatic means Holy Spirit personality, Holy Spirit influence, charisma. Charis is grace. Charisma means the grace of God. That means the Holy Spirit being who He wants to be through you. I'm being charismatic because I'm allowing the Spirit to work through me. It's not a label that some church has that we think they're just, you know, peculiar people. It's only because we see him clapping and dancing and being free that we tend to see to judge it. After all, there were angels, the heavenly hosts, signs, wonders, words of knowledge. They were all in operation at the same time. And remember, folks, this wasn't your typical day in the field for those shepherds either. Nor is it ordinary when God manifests in a church in a supernatural way. If God were to come in that way here now and stuff like that, it wouldn't be ordinary churches we normally would go through. Maybe we'd all wonder about such experiences ourselves today, like they did, like Mary, who had to contemplate a bit over that experience. Luke 2:19. Remember? Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Okay, what did this being in church today mean to you? The fact that we went about 20 minutes over, which is probably what it'll be. Oh, well, they just went 20 minutes over, and that's what you left with. What is it meant for the presence of God, the joy, the singing, the testimonies, the word of God? What is it? Do you ponder it, or you just go to Denny's and have your meal? It's time for us to behold the things of God and wonder and ponder and begin to experience and begin to accept and to receive that which God wants to do on any given day, not just a Sunday. Folks, we ought not to ponder, but we need to praise and worship. When you get to that place where you're just wondering, start to praise and worship like those ordinary shepherds did, right? Who simply accepted the experience as having been orchestrated by God. They accepted that experience as being orchestrated by God, and they praised and worshiped. Luke 2:20. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard, they had seen, and they had just been told them, just as had been told them. So when has that happened? We've seen people come back from these revivals and start to tell us all about it, and we're like, yeah, but we weren't there. Oh, that's nice. They were excited. And consider this. Do we react with a measure of unbelief to people coming back from these renewals and revivals who experience? They're hyped up, and they're telling stories of supernatural occurrences from God. And you know these people. They've come back, and they said, this person was healed, and this person got saved, and this person, they repented, and God moved, and the pastor was out cold for 2 hours up in the pulpit. And the revival was such that there was just the shadow of these people were passing people, and they were being healed. How do you react to that? The shepherds were doing the same thing. What do you think those people of Israel were saying when the shepherds came back and said, hey, this lady just birthed God? I'm just being real. Do we respond like the shepherds, acknowledging that God paid a visit? Would countless others take them at their word? My guess is not many were as enthusiastic about the news as much as those that were touched by the experience. And that's the difference of being touched by the experience versus just hearing the reports of. But Jesus said, blessed is the person that may not have experienced. That's in paraphrasing, it's in my words. But those who believe and receive without seeing, they're really considered blessed. Easy to believe when we're touched by the experience. Hence why we're praying for, listen, we're praying for and we're crying out for God's glory to invade our hearts and our church. Experiencing God brings so much ecstasy. Listen, experiencing God brings so much ecstasy that many have a hard time embracing the reactions. Listen to me now. The reactions to God's presence without their own physical senses having had a taste. If your physical senses have not had a taste of it, our reactions to other people's supernatural experiences have a tendency to be very judgmental, very critical, and unbelieving. But just as Jesus said to Thomas, verse 29 of John 20, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who did not see, and they yet believe. So choose to believe, folks, as I wind this up today. Everyday experiences back up history and prophecy. Let me say that again. Everyday experiences back up history and prophecy. We don't have to see, but boy, sure, we sure would love to, wouldn't we? Lord, we don't have to see, but we really do. We would love to. Meantime, what has God conceived in you? What has he conceived? What is he birthing in you? Is he birthing your spiritual gifts? And are they long overdue? Is the baby late? I'll say another thing. Is the baby coming early? Don't birth your gift before you're ready, but don't be late. Be right on time. Well, how do I know that, Pastor? Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust those that he's placed in oversight over you to tell you the truth instead of trying to please man. For me, I've learned no more pleasing man. I don't care that it's 10 after 12. If you want to get up and leave, go. But sometimes it's going to go a little longer because that's the way God wants it. And when we all get to that point and we worry about what God thinks versus what man thinks, I think it will change the way we react to a lot of situations. Amen? Are you ready to answer his call on your life like Mary answered hers? Last scripture, Luke 1:38. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Folks, you were born to glorify God. That's our chief purpose of man. You were born to glorify God by making the most of your gifts and your days. Let God order your steps. Jesus was born to give you this opportunity. Listen, Jesus was born to give you the opportunity to move in the power of his Holy Spirit. And that's not it. He was born also to supply you with everything you need to get it done. He's given you of his Spirit. He said, "I'm not going to leave you alone. Wait on it. It's coming." And it came at Pentecost, and it's not an it. Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and he is in you if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior. His entire Holy Spirit, not just a little piece. You just have to yield, and the more you yield, the more you'll be filled, the more you'll be anointed. The more you yield, the more you're going to be anointed. He's called the Holy Spirit, and so now you live with authority, you live with power, and you live with purpose. I don't know what your life was like before you knew Jesus, but I'm telling you right now, whether you've come into this already or you've not come into it, you can have that authority and power and purpose of God in your life. But you have to co-labor with God and participate. He's not dropping pennies from heaven. He's dropping that. He's placing it in you. And now you, like Mary, have to birth it and be obedient and yield to it. Otherwise, you'll go and you'll see God and he's going to say, "What did you do with what I gave you?" Oh, you'll go to heaven, but he's going to go, "You know, did you squander the things that I entrusted to you?" You don't want to say that. You want to be in a church that's going to help empower you and give you the opportunity. Like we said before, right now, why did we change the way this is in here? To get you involved. Body ministry. You have something to share. You have a testimony. You have a song, a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. It's not to be pulpit ministry. It was never designed to be a pulpit ministry. It was designed that the body of Christ, given the diversity of gifts, each person doing their part at being a brick on the wall, would participate. And you might not participate in this church service, and that's okay, but this is only 2 hours out of it. Well, 2 hours and 20 minutes. Out of an entire week that you have to go to be Jesus. So if you're not part of the service, that's okay. You can be part of the service for the rest of the week. What a great reason to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let us all share this joy just like the shepherds did over 2,000 years ago. Not just December 25th, which really he wasn't born on that day anyway, but we celebrate it that day. But every day of our lives should be Christmas to us. Happy birthday, Jesus, and Merry Christmas, everyone.